Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Samech Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Semach Beda in memory of his father Yosef ben Miriam. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. And in honor of the rabbi for the many hours of preparation he spends on each day's daf. We do mention that he is one of the steady members of the Daf Yomi class. May Hashem bless him with long life, arichut shamim, chayim, healthy, and bezat Hashem, nachat from his wonderful children. Amen. Today's daf also is being studied le'anu nishmat, our master and teacher, Acham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Avraham ben Esther. Amen. We are starting on Samichei Amud Bet on the bottom at the Mishnah. Hakiteya yotze bekav shelo devre Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Yoseh oser. Hakiteya, as he says, shenikte'a raglo. The Bar Minan, his legs were cut off, or his leg was cut off. And therefore, he cannot wear a regular shoe. What he has is, he has his, let's say, his leg is coming to like a stump, they'll call it. And he puts it's like a shoe that they make out of wood that they place on that stump, which means it's a shoe has a hole in it. It's a wooden piece and they stick it in. It's more cosmetic than it is functional as a shoe. Jesus doesn't obviously walk with that, need it for walking, but it's just to cover that stump, but it looks like the shape of a shoe. That's already the way that she understands it. So we have a machloket regarding this kav, okay, this shoe that they're making for the one that has his legs cut. So it says, Hakitei Yotze Bekav Shelo Devre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds, according to Rashi, that this kav is considered a shoe. It's considered a min'al, and therefore it's permissible to wear it on Shabbat. Whereas Rabbi Yosef says, Asur. He says, no, it's not a shoe, it's not a takshir, it's not an adornment, therefore it would be considered carrying. Why? Because he says a shoe would be normal, let's say a leather shoe. But a wooden shoe is not considered a shoe, and therefore it's considered carrying. So if Mahlok is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosef, can the Kiteya go out with the kav? It should be pointed out, Tosfot has a different understanding of this Mahloket. On the bottom, Tosfot HaKiteya. Tosfot understands that the issue over here is everybody holds it's a shoe. He bases that on the Gemara in Yoma, that all hold a wooden shoe is a shoe. So what's the Mahloket over here? Is it going to fall off or not? The Rabbi Yosef says it's Asur because he's Gozer, that since it's not fastened tightly on the foot of the kiteya, it might fall off in the reshut rabim, and therefore he might come and carry it. Tosfot says, how can he come carry it? He can't walk. So how's he going to come carry anything if it falls off? So Tosfot says, no, he's also using the aid of the cane. So therefore you'll be able to, let's say, continue walking. In any event, that's the machlok, the Rashi and Tosfot. Ve'im yesh lo bet kibul ketitin tameh. Now, if this kav has a bet kibul meaning it has, let's say, a area, we'll call it a receptacle, meaning it's dug out, I mean, that's the spot where, let's say, he's able to put his stump, but it's dug out and they place ketitin in there. What is ketitin? Cloths or rags. Why would they put rags in that hole? In order to, when he puts his stump in it, so it cushions it, it makes it soften. So then already, if they use it for putting cushions in it, then already it becomes tameh. It has the ability to be susceptible to tum'ah. Now, the question is why? Why does it have to be placed rags in there? Bottom line, we have a kiri'etz, a wooden vessel that has a bet kibul. Any wooden vessel has a bet kibul, susceptible to tum'ah. Why does the Mishnah have to throw in that only if they place ketitin? So the explanation is like this. A wooden vessel that has a receptacle to it is only tameh if it's used to store things, to hold things. The Gemara learns that from a derasha that they make from sak. Sak is another type of receptacle that the Gemara, the Torah says it's only tameh if it's used for carrying things. So therefore, this kav, it has a hole in it, let's say. It's not considered a receptacle for holding his stump, It's not holding the stump. He's wearing it on the stump. So therefore, the only reason it's going to be susceptible to Tum'ah is if they use it for holding something else. What? Putting these cloths or rags in it. Why would they put the rags in it? In order to make it comfortable, to cushion the fellow that's wearing it. So only when they have kititin, then already it's considered bet kibun, and it'll be a kli ha'etz, that's mekabel tum'ah. The Mishnah continues, simuchot shelo teme'in midras, v'yotz'in bahem b'shabbat, v'nechnasim bahem b'hazara. Okay, the fellow that has his legs amputated or cut off, they would wear what's called simuchot. What are simuchot? So the way I would explain it to you is, imagine he still has his shins. So we're talking, let's say, it's just like the legs are cut off. So what he does is, let's say he would sit, imagine somebody resting on their knees. So their legs are behind them. Whatever's left of his legs is behind them. So what they put on his shins, they place like a cushion or a knee pad, exactly. If ever saw a knee pad, but it lies flat on the ground and the shin rests on it. Okay? The stumps are revealed. Okay? It just to cushion his knees, exactly. So the Mishnah says, Simuchot shelo, those are called simuchot, teme'im midras. Which means, if let's say the fellow is a zav, so then already that these cushions are susceptible to tum'at midras, that's the tum'at of a zav. Why? Because they're made for resting on. Anything that is made for sitting on or lying on, or let's say putting his weight on it, so that's susceptible to tumat midras. So since these cushions, he's putting his weight on them, meaning he's sitting on them, so therefore they're susceptible to the tumah of midras. And if he's a zab, they will become avatumah. Now, furthermore, v'yotzim b'im b'shabbat, he can go out with these items on Shabbat, because as she says, that's considered an adornment. For him, these are considered necessary items. V'nichnasim b'im b'hazara. The Azara is in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. The law is in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, you're not allowed to go into the courtyard with shoes on. These knee pads, we'll call them, are not considered shoes. Because shoes are something that are worn at the end of the foot. These items are not worn at the end of the foot. Now this guy doesn't have a foot, but it's not even worn at the end of what he has. It's just resting on his shins, let's say. So therefore you can go in with these things. The person can go in with these things to the Azara. So we have three dinim by the simuchot. Number one, the simuchot are mekabel tumat midras. Number two, he can go out with them on Shabbat, considered a tachshit for him. And number three, he can go into the Azara because it's not considered a min'al, a shoe. Now we go to the next case. Kiseh v'simuchot shelo temi'in midras v'en yotzim b'hem b'shabbat v'en nichnasim b'hem b'azara. This is a different case here. It's kiseh v'simuchot shelo, which is sometimes, as she says, when the stumps of the person dried up and the ligaments dried up so much that he would not be able to even put any pressure on them, so to speak, to walk, let's say. For example, the other guy, he would, suspend himself, lift himself up and, carry himself in the shoot of the beam. This guy over here cannot really use the stumps that he has because they're like I said, they're not functional. So what he does is, what they do for him, they make him a chair. And he sits in this chair and they tie him into this chair. And he has, for example, on his side blocks that he holds. And he lifts himself up with his hands. And, he moves himself, to the Rishut HaRabim. Now, what he does is, he also wears simuchot. He also wears knee pads. But these type of knee pads, since he doesn't have really shins, this guy, so he just places them on the stumps themselves. Because as he's lifting himself in the wheelchair, in this chair, we'll call it a wheelchair, but it's not a wheelchair, it's a chair that he has, he lifts himself up and he thrusts himself forward and momentarily he leans on those stumps. But not for a long time. So no, not to hurt himself, they put cushions on those stumps itself. So now, let's discuss the dinim. The first dinim is the kiseh v'simuchot shelo, when he's in the chair. Then he has simuchot, meaning these cushions on the stumps themselves. Temi'im midras. Number one, The chair is tamei midras, because bottom line, he's putting his weight on it. It's made for sitting, so therefore it'll be tamei midras. For that matter, the stumps, the simuchot that are also on his feet, also he rests on them. When he's lifting himself up, he turns forward, and momentarily he rests on those also. So therefore it's tamei midras. Ve'en yotzim be'em shabbat. But he cannot go out with these items on Shabbat. The question is why? Why can't you go out with these simuchot on Shabbat? So that she says, "Ve'en yotzim be'em shabbat." Rabbotenu omrim, mepnei she'enam tzarichim lo kol kach, because you really don't need them. Because really, he's not using these simuchot like in the other case. In the other case, the simuchot were mamash on his shins, and he was resting on them constantly, and he was using them as he was traveling, as he carries himself to the Shulchan Arbin, he's going up and down on them. So therefore, they're very necessary for them. Here, really, he's sitting in a chair, and he has these two, let's say, blocks on the side, and he's lifting himself up. Momentarily, he'll thrust himself forward and rest on the stumps, but therefore, since it's really not necessary for him to have them, they will be considered a burden. Others want to say that she brings an alternate interpretation, that he says, since most of the time they're suspended, they're not hitting the ground, the concern is they might fall off. And if they might fall off, he might come and carry them. Right? That's the second thing. Again, either because it's a burden, because they're really not necessary, or because they might fall off. Interesting. These simuchot, these cushions, you cannot go into the azara with them. Why? Because they're considered a shoe. Why? Because they're resting mamash on his stuff, which that's the end of his foot, technically. So that's like a shoe. As opposed to the last simuchot that we were talking about, they were just resting on his shins, but the stumps were actually revealed. So therefore, that's not considered a shoe. If we can go into azara, these items are actually placed on the stumps of itself, and therefore it's considered as a menahal, therefore cannot wear it in the azara. The kiseh itself, legabe what? Azara? No, there's no deen of a kiseh. You can bring a kiseh in the azara, mutar. Yeah, the only deen of azara is legabe menahal.
The other deen in the Mishnah was talking about kiseh and the simuchot.
Yes, legabe midras and legabe shabbat. Madai, but for azara it's only deen of menahal. Last point of the Mishnah. Look to me. What is luktimin? New subject, totally. The Gemara is going to say it's basically like a mask that an adult would wear in order to scare the children. You're joking around with the kids, so he puts on a mask. So this mask is called a luktimin. Teorin. First of all, it's not susceptible to tum'ah because it's not an ornament, nor do we consider it a malbush, a garment. Therefore, it's not susceptible to tumah. Ve'en yotzin behen, and for that matter, you cannot go out with it on Shabbat, since it's not a garment, it's not an ornament. Therefore, it's considered carrying. The Gemara will go into detail what type of mask this luktamin actually is. All right, so let's just review quickly the Mishnah Rabotai. The first part of the Mishnah, which is going to be analyzed now, is this kav. This was the hollowed out shoe like item, according to Rashi, made out of wood, that the kiteya, the fellow that's legs were amputated, they would place the stump of his feet, of his thigh, whatever is left, into this item. We had a machloket in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Meir says he can go out with it on Shabbat, because he holds it's a shoe, and therefore for him it's considered a malbush, whereas Rabbi Yosef said asur. That's the version that we have. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rabba, Rab Nachman. Rabba comes to Rav Nachman and says, "Echitnam, what was the text that you had in the Mishnah?" You see, it seems there were two texts out there. Some had Rabbi Yosef Osir, like we have, and some had Rabbi Yosef Matir. So he asked Rabba asked Rav Nachman, "Echitnam, what was your version of the Mishnah?" Amar le lo yada'na. He says, "The truth is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question." So he's like, "Hilchetamai." Right. What's the halakha? Maybe you have a bottom line on this. Amale lo yada'ana. He's, I don't know as well. So itmar, so now we have an Amoraic statement. Amar Shemuel, enakiteya. Shemuel says the proper text to the Mishnah is enakiteya, which is not like our text, which means our text starts off, hakiteya yotze bekav. But if you have the text enakiteya yotze bekav, that makes a reverse deen, which is the bimeir becomes the osir, and the biyosir becomes the matir. So Shmuel had it reversed. Yeah? Again, itmar amar Shmuel enakitaya. Vechen amar Rav Huna enakitaya. So Rav Huna also concurred enakitaya. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, Oil amar Shmuel enakitaya. Amar Rav Huna enakitaya. Anan amen itne enakitaya. Listen, since we have already Shmuel saying it, so we have Rav Huna saying it, Rav Yosef says, I'll also agree with them. And therefore we'll switch it and we'll put enakitaya, meaning make the bi meir the mahmir, and make the bi yosef the matir. Matkif le rabba bar shira. So rabba bar shira asked a question against Rabbi Yosef. And he said, lo shami'a lehu, didn't you hear? Had the matni le rab hanan bar rabba lehiya bar rab. Didn't you hear what Rav Hanan bar Rabba learned in front of Hiya bar Rav, Kamed Rav, in front of Rav, Bekatiuna debe Rav, in the small bet midrash of Rav, which is there was a statement made in front of Rav. What was the statement? The statement was, one of the rabbis got up in front of Rav and said, En akiteya yotze bekav shelo, devre Rabbi Meir, v'Rabbi Yosef matir. Rabbi got up in front of Rav and read also like the text of Shmuel and of Huna, meaning enakiteya, making the bimeir the mahmir and the biyoseh the nekel. And what did Rav do when he heard it? Umahveh le Rav ipuch. Rav gave him a signal, a hand signal, meaning reverse it. Meaning he probably either went like this with his hands, you know, reverse it, or, you know, switch it like that. He made a signal, which means you got it backwards, he told him. So what do you see over here? Rav had the version like we have it, meaning Rabbi Yosef is the Osir. So that's what the Matkif was over here, which means, how are you telling me, Rabbi Yosef, oh, since Shmuel goes like that, since Rav Huna goes like that, we're going to go like that also. What are you doing? You're disregarding Rav? Which means Rav clearly said, when he switched it around, that really Rabbi Yosef is the Osir. So he says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman, I gave you a siman to remember this. V'simanach, the letter Sammich Sammich. How? Rabbi Yosef Osir. How do you remember this? Rabbi Yosef has a Sammich in it, yeah? Yosef. And what is Osir? Has a Sammich. So how are you going to remember the right version? Sammich Sammich. Rabbi Yosef is the one that is Osir. So comes again what it says, Ve'av Shmuel Hadarbe. At the end of the day, even Shmuel retracted. And he went back to learn, like the Gerasa that we have, that Rabbi Yosef is the Osir. How do you know Shmuel retracted? Because we learned in the Mishnah. Halitza b'sandal she'eno shelo. We know the law of halitza. That's regarding the laws of a fellow that died, and he left his wife without children. So then that fellow's brother must fulfill a mitzvah of yibum, which means he marries his sister-in-law. In the event where he does not want to, he goes through the procedure called halitza, which means he has to take, he wears a special shoe, and she removes the shoe from his right foot, and then they go through a different procedure called halitza that the Torah talks about. Our Gemara is going to discuss now about the shoe in the halitza procedure. So the Mishnah says, halitza b'sandal she'eno shelo. Let's say he made halitza with a shoe that didn't belong to him. B'sandal shel etz, or with a wooden shoe. Or shel semol b'yamin, or he wore his left shoe on his right foot, and they made halitza with that. Halitza keshera. It counts. B'di'avad, the halitza is kosher. V'amrinan, and the Gemara says, Man Tana, who's the author of this statement? Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Meir. The author is Rabbi Meir. Where do you see Rabbi Meir holds that this shoe would be good? Ditnan, Hakiteya Yotze Bekav Shelo Devre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef Osir. Meaning, clearly now we see Shmuel holds what? Rabbi Meir says the Kiteya can go out with the wooden shoe. So what do you see according to Rabbi Meir? It's a shoe. So just like it's a shoe le'inyan Shabbat, it's a shoe le'inyan Halitza. And that's why it says if they use a wooden shoe for Halitza, it's Kesherah. But what do you see from Shmuel? that he retracted and he held that it's Rabbi Meir that's the Matir, and it's Rabbi Yosei that is the Osei. So therefore, now we have Rav, and we also have Shmuel concurring that they all have the text like we have, making the Rabbi Yosei Mahmir and the Rabbi Meir Mekel. And the Gemara says, the Af Ravuna Hadarbe. And as a matter of fact, even Ravuna retracted as well. So there's really nobody left. Where do you see Rav Huna retracted from his original statement, and now he's going to make the Yosei the Osir? So it says, Netanya, because we have a Braita, Sandal Shel Sayyidin. You have the shoe of Sayyidin. What is Sayyidin? Sayyidin are painters, which means they use limestone. Now, there's a mahluk at exactly what type of shoe they used to wear. Either that she brings two versions, either the sandal that they wore was a wooden shoe and they would put the wooden shoe, let's say, over their leather shoes in order that they don't get them dirty with limestone, or even more so, they say, she says, because it seems the limestone burns through the leather, so therefore in order not to ruin their leather shoes they would wear these special sandals called sandal shel saidin, like the shoe of the painters. That she brings an alternate explanation. That's really the way Tosfot learns. If you look at the Tosfot in the third line of Tosfot, I'll read the whole thing actually. Perush Akoteros, Mochre Asid. He learns that it's actually guys that are selling limestone. Ushmit Askin Besid, Noalin Oto, Beshedaitsu, Mepenesh Asid Sorefet Aor. Because the limestone burns through the leather. Now, Zeh Lashon Dabotai, Velinir E, Sandal Sayadin Shel Kashu. He says, no, it was a shoe made out of straw. Okay? So either way, it's not a normal leather shoe. It's either made out of straw, it's made out of wood. In any event, what is the Gemara say? Tameh Midras. Number one, it's susceptible to Tameh Midras. Why? Because bottom line, the painter or the limestone guy puts his weight on it, right? He's stepping on it, he puts his weight on it, what's mekabel to mat midras, if he's a zav, let's say. The isha choletzet bo, and a lady could use that type of shoe in the halitza process. The yotzim bo b'shabbat, and you can go out with this type of shoe on Shabbat. Devrei Rabbi Akiva, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva, velo hodulo, but they didn't agree with him. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Atanya hodulo. We have a writer that says they did agree with him. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, man hodulo. Who's the rabbis that agreed with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Meir. Uman lo hodulo. Rabbi Yosef. So what do you see over here? Rav Huna held that Rabbi Meir holds a wooden shoe is considered a shoe. From where? From our Mishnah. And therefore, the Bimi'ir is Mekel on Shabbat for a Kitan to go out with a wooden shoe. Therefore, he says what? That the wooden shoe that the Sayyadin wear is going to be kasher for Halitza, because bottom line, it's considered a shoe. And that was the rabbi that agreed to the Rabbi Akiva. And who was the rabbi that disagreed with the Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Yosef. Because he holds what? A wooden shoe is not considered a shoe, the Inyan Shabbat, and therefore we're going to extend that to Halitza. And therefore, what do you see bottom line? That Rabbi Yosef, I'm sorry, that Rav Huna retracted. That Rav Huna also, bottom line, learns that Rabbi Meir the Mekel, and Rabbi Yosef the Mahmir. So, comes the Gemara one step further and says, Amar Rav Yosef, Man lo hodulo. Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, there's another rabbi that argued with Rabbi Akiva. Not only Rabbi Yosef argued on Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Yosef says, well, a wooden shoe is not considered a shoe, therefore you cannot use it for halitza. But there's another rabbi out there that argues on Rabbi Akiva. And who's that? Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri. Where do we see Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri argue with it? None. Kaveret shel kash. Now the Gaon Mevilna changes that word kaveret, and he changes it to mahatzelet hakash. Mahatzelet hakash would mean a mat made out of straw. Okay, that people, let's say, sit on. Veshefoferet shel kanim, or a tube that's made out of reeds, a tube that they store things in. Rabbi Akiva metameh. Rabbi Akiva says these items are susceptible to tum'ah, V'Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri mitaher. Now, why does Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri mitaher? Why does he say these mats that you people sit on them are tahor, let's say from Tum'ah? So let's read Rashi. Let's read Rashi, V'Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri mitaher. It's the second wide line in Rashi. De'lav urha la'asot mikash. Because you don't make mats normally out of straw. Ela mekanim. You make it out of reeds, which are harder. Which means, the Gemara is saying, just like the mat, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, is not susceptible to my why? Since it's not the derech to make it out of straw, so he will agree the same thing by a shoe. Since it's not the normal way to make a shoe out of wood, ela you make the shoe out of leather, so therefore we found somebody that agrees or argues that against Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Akiva held that a wooden shoe you can use for halitza, right? Because we said he's going like the Bibi'ir, that says a wooden shoe that the ka, that the kiteyah wears is permissible to go out on Shabbat. Why? Because he considers it a min'al. So he says, Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri argues. Where do you see Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri argue? He didn't talk about shoes. He talked about mats. Yeah, but the same logic. Why does he say the mat that's made out of kash, of straw, is not susceptible to tumah? Because it's not the derech to make it out of that. And since it's not the derech, we'll apply the same logic by wooden shoes. Since wooden shoes is not the derech, therefore, it won't be kasher, let's say, for halitza. You will not be able to go out with it on Shabbat. So therefore, Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri also argued on Rabbi Akiva. Now continue that Rashi. Veli nireh sandal shel saidin shel kashu. Right? Like we saw the second explanation, right? He says, no, this sandal is really made out of straw. Oh, wait. So if the sandal is made out of straw, what's the logic here? So he says, Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri mitaher bechli kash. Different deen. Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri says, straw vessels are not mekabel tum'ah. Why? De'lav etzninhu. Because what type of vessels did the Torah say are susceptible to tum'ah? Wood. And therefore, this shoe over here, since it's made out of kash, so therefore it's a straw shoe, therefore it's not going to be susceptible to midras tum'ah. And therefore it's not going to be considered a shoe as well to be going out on Shabbat. And that's why he says the straw mats also are not going to be compared to, because bottom line, it's not wood. And therefore he also, the only type of item that's mekabel tumah is wood. But Rabbi Akiva will say, no, these items, this straw is like wood. Why? Because it's hard like wood. And then when this is hard like wood, we're going to give it a din of wood. Now, it's just interesting, the Tosafot says, V'yesh somar dekash nami hashiv shel etz. He brings a proof. Where do you see that straw would be considered like wood? So he says, from the Gemara Berachot, it says the tree that Adam HaRishon ate from was chita, was wheat. Now, wheat is, it's like straw. What is it? It's the stalks that come out of the tree, right? If you say it was a wheat tree. In those days, wheat used to grow on trees. And still, what does the Torah call it? Etz. So you see what? You do see that straw or wheat can be considered etz. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Akiva is going to hold. However, according to Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, he's going to say, no, just like the mats that are made out of straw are not mekabel tum'ah, so too the shoes that are made out of straw are not mekabel tum'ah, because it's not a shoe, and therefore the rest follows. Then Yan Shabbat, then Yan Halitza, etc. Comes the Gemara and continues. So bottom line, let's just review to this point. Comes that we have no argument now on the text of the Mishnah. Shmuel concurs, Rav Huna concurs, Rav said it or signaled it clearly. That what? The kav that the kiteya wears on Shabbat, Rabbi Meir says mutar, and Rabbi Yosef says asur. Rabbi Meir says mutar, why? Because it's a shoe, whereas Rabbi Yosef will say asur, because it's not a shoe. Again, we're learning Shitat Rashi over here. I did mention to you before that his Tosfot has a different Mahalach over here. He learns that it's going to fall off or not fall off. In any event, the Gemara continues. Amar Mor. We have a statement that we previously quoted. Sandal shel Saidin tamei midras. Right? The sandal of the Saidin is tamei midras, meaning if the sayyad is a painter or he's a zav, I'm sorry, if he's a zav and he's wearing the shoe, it'll transmit tum'ah to the shoe. The Gemara says, ha'alav ne'enucha avde. So what are you talking about? These shoes are not made for walking, which means he just wears these, you know, during work, which means it's not really designated for walking. Which, if one way you come in the question is, it's really just to protect the shoe. To protect his leather shoes so they don't get burnt. That's not considered a designated for madras. He says, you know, there's this sayyad, he uses it for walking. He doesn't take it off right after the job is done. He walks home with them. And he takes them up when he gets home. So bottom line, we do see that he uses this type of shoe for walking. Therefore, he'll be subject to tumat madras. Now the Tosafot, he doesn't understand this whole Gemara. Tosafot diburim atim Rabbi Yohanan mitahir. I'm sorry, Tosafot diburim atchil v'halav ne'elucha abid. Tosafot says, ikshah rav rabbi de'ezim emetz rajba. May parich. V'alo b'sha'at melachto hu me'alech bo. So what are you talking about? He does walk with them. When he's working, doesn't he walk around when he's working? What do you have to tell me? Oh, he doesn't use them for walking. What do you mean? Obviously when he's working, isn't he walking around? So Tosafot says, Sarik lomar demaiti hechi dechiech. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong Tosafot's answer. V'tiretz lo de sadat shel sayedin lav l'nol asui. Interesting, he says, this sandal of the sayedin, it's really not made to even wear on the foot. Ela echad mekli umanoto shel sayedinu. It's really one of the vessels that he uses to paint with. V'asui ke'en sandal, just in the shape of a sandal. He can't technically put his foot in it if he wants to. It's only used really to paint the house. That's why the Gemara is saying, he doesn't wear them. Even when he's working, according to this version of the Tosafot, he doesn't put them on his feet. He's using it to paint with. So yeah, you know what? But after he finishes painting, he doesn't carry the item home. He puts it on his foot. It's like he's wearing the paintbrush home. He puts it on his foot and walks home with it. The lift was considered designated for walking. The lift will be mitameh midras. But the Ri learned like you said, Sammy. The Ri pirish ve'en asui klal ne'ilah lak neshmol min alaf lo yisrafu besid. He's learned the question differently. We know he's wearing it. It's not a paintbrush. It's a shoe. But since it's not made for wearing, meaning for walking with, and it's only made to protect the leather that's underneath it, so it's not considered a shoe. So the Gemara says, no, it is. You know why? Because forget about the protective benefits of the shoe. He wears it home. So bottom line, he does use it as a legal shoe. Therefore, it can be mekabel to masu. Bottom line, Tosfot offers two explanations. Either this item really wasn't a shoe bichlal. This item was a vessel used in the painting process, and the Hiddush of the Gemara is that you're right, but on the way home, he'd wear it home. Oh, therefore it's mekabel tumat midras. Other explanation? No, it's like, it's almost like we would wear a rubber over our shoes to protect them during the rain. So therefore, this item was that, to protect the leather during the process. So therefore, protective, it's not considered a shoe. Says, you know what? You're right, but bottom line, they would still wear it home. So obviously, you see, they use it as a shoe, therefore, it's used for shoe, and therefore can be mekabel tum'at midras, because it's designated for wearing as a shoe. So that's the Gemara's answer why it's tamei midras.
Why is it, if it has a function, shouldn't it be mekabel
tum'at? Oh, tum'at midras has to be designated for walking with, or stepping on.
Treading on.
If it's not designated for treading on, either it's a protective, or it's a paint brush, so to speak. I don't care if he puts it on his shoe, bottom line. It's not designated for treading. So Gemara says, no, it is designated for treading. You know why? Because he walks home with it after the job. So he designates it for treading. Therefore, I don't care if it's protective. I don't care if it's a paint brush. Bottom line, Mikabir Tumat Medras. Comes the Gemara further and says, V'im yesh lo bet kibul ketitin tameh. The Gemara says that what? If, let's say, the kav has a receptacle in it to place kititin in it, to place these rags in it, so therefore becomes a kili'etz that has a bet kibul to store things, then it becomes susceptible to tum'ah. Amar Abaye, tameh tum'at met. Yeah, it'll be susceptible to the av tum'ah of met, the en tameh midras. But it'll not be susceptible to tum'at midras if the guy's a zav and wearing it. What's the logic of Abaye? The logic of Abaye is because bottom line, as we explained, this kav is not made to support the person that's wearing it. It's more cosmetic. It's more made just as to cover the stump. And therefore, since it's not really made to support his weight, therefore it's not mikabel tum'at midras. Because for tum'at midras, according to Abaye, it must be designated and used primarily to support the weight. However, for tum'at mit, which means if it's, let's say, an oil of a mit or a mit touched it, that doesn't go with weight, supporting, anything. It just goes with regular tum'ah. That she actually says, that when the Gemara says that it's subject to tum'at mit, it doesn't only mean tum'at mit. It means any type of tum'ah except midras. So why did choose then tum'at mit? Because tum'at mit and midras have something in common. They're both considered abat tum'ah, which means if a zav touches something, it can make it an abat tum'ah in cases. And if a mit touches something, it can make it an abat tum'ah. So therefore it chose midras and abat tum'ah. But for that matter, any tum'ah will be susceptible, this kav will be susceptible to any tum'ah except tum'at midras. Why? Because he does not primarily use it to support himself on. That's Abaye Shita. Rava argues. Rava Amar, Av Tameh Midras. He says, no. Even Midras is Tameh. What's Rava's logic? Rava holds, and this is the Mahluk Rabbeyan Rava, even if it's not primarily used to hold his weight, but sometimes his weight is held by it, and sometimes he leans on it, therefore, that's enough to make something susceptible to midras. So, what's the machlok at Abayin Rabba? How much does an item have to be used to support him in order to become susceptible to tumat midras? Abayin says, primarily. But Rabba says, even from time to time, so long as it's used, even temporarily at that function to support him. I guess when he's walking, sometimes he leans on that kav. So therefore, it'll be susceptible to tumat midras. Rashi's lashon teme'a midras ho'il upe'amin sheyoshev aleha. V'haynami zemnin demistamich aleh. He also sometimes rests on it. So comes again what and says, Amar Rava. Rava says, mina aminala. Where do I know my deen from? Ditnan agala shel katan teme'a midras. What's agala shel katan? Literally, agala would mean a wagon of a baby. Now, the Mefarshim explained it, that this wagon the child would play with, it's to play with. But sometimes they put the baby in it. But that wasn't the normal function. One of the ways they would play with it is they put the kid in it. But that wasn't the primary way of using it. And what does Rava say? Tameh midras. So what do you see over here? Even if it's sometimes used, therefore it'll be mekabel tuma. Tosfot has a different understanding of this wagon of the baby. He learns it was more like a walker, where the child would hold it and walk with it. Now sometimes as the child is walking with it, he rests his weight on the walker. And therefore, even though it's not primarily used to rest his weight, still Rava says what? Hagala shel katan is mekabel tum'at midras. So comes the Gemara and says, how's Abaye going to answer that? So comes the Gemara and says, ve'abaye amar, hatam samich elave, acha lo samich elave. Abaye comes along and says, now come on. By the case of the walker or the carriage, however you're learning it, he rests his weight on it, which means that's done already more prevalent than the case of the cab. The case of the cab, it's purely cosmetic. He doesn't rest his weight on it. Bechlan, if he does, it's a rare thing. Here, that's one of the ways the kid plays with it. They lie him down in it, or he rests his weight on it. But he's already making now helukim in, you know, the amount of prevalence. He said the katan case with the agala is more prevalent than the kav case, which is purely made for cosmetic. Which means this agala is made as well for him leaning on it. The kav is not made for leaning on. The kav is made just to cover the stump of the fellow without the legs. So therefore he says that item will not be becoming tumat midras, as opposed to the agala, which is made for the kid to lean on or sit in, will be mekabel tuma bedras.
That wagon, anybody can make a tamei once the child.
Correct. Is able to right. So Abaye says, mina aminala. How do I know my din? That what? That something that's really not used primarily for leaning on is not going to be mekabel tuma bedras. The tanya, because we have a braita. What does it say in the braita? Makel shel zekenim tahor miklum. Makel shel zekenim would be a stick, a cane that the old man walks with is tahor from any type of tum'ah. Let's analyze why. Well, the cane itself is kili'etz, is a piece of wood. But it's pishutei kili'etz because it does not have a receptacle. So therefore the law is pishutei kili'etz are not mikabel any type of tum'ah. Oh, except maybe midras, because bottom line you might say, bottom line he, you know, he supports himself with it. So therefore, the charat should be mekabel tuma. So what does Abaye say? Tahor miklum. Why? Because he really doesn't use it to support himself with it. Why? Let's read Rashi. Bottom line, Rashi. Actually, the last Rashi on the daf. Tahor miklum. Lo midras. Velo shar tuma. Lo mitame midras. The reason why it's not coming into midras, mishum delav de smicha avid. It's really not made from to lean on. Sha'al raglo mehalich, because the guy's really walking on his feet. Da'afagab de mistamich alil frakim, even though once in a while he might lean on it. So therefore, what do you see from over here? That if it's not the primary purpose, not leaning on it, therefore it's not going to be mekabel tumat midras. Now, ushar tumah namelo tepeshute kiliyitzu. Because bottom line, it's just a regular piece of wood without a receptacle. Alma afalgav dizimnin demistamichale. What do you learn from Abaye? Even though sometimes he might rest on the cane, afalehu il ve'ikar asiyata en alekach. Since his primary function is not for leaning his weight on it, ena temea midras. Now, the Rashi just says, why don't you just say very simply, it's not mekabel, it's not tamei midras, because it's a pishutei kili'etz. So that she answers that the law of pishutei kili'etz does not apply to midras. Even regular wooden items without receptacles can be subject to the law of midras. But why in this case it's not? Because it's not primarily used to lean on. Now, so how's Rabbah going to answer this? Rabbah, he says, even if you use it sometimes, can be mekabel tuma midras. Verava hatam leterutze sugya avida hacha lesmoch elavehu davida besamich ale vashi. Why does the guy use the cane? Letaken pesiotav, just in order to keep his strides straight. With his kof command to keep upright, because the old man's legs, they shake. Which means this item, according to Rava, it's not made to support him. Which means, he might support himself once in a while, but it's not made for that. It's really made just to keep his balance, but he's supporting himself on his legs. Don't bring me a question from the case of the cane. Masha'enken, the case of the wagon, the case of the wagon is made for the kid to lie on or to lean on, or the other cases that we mentioned, the case of the calf, he leans on it sometimes. It's made for that also, for him to rest his weight on it. So therefore, the case of the makel according to Rava is no proof. Comes the
baby in the wagon and fall into play. The baby could never be a zav.
First of all, the baby can be a zav, but let's say somebody else. Let's say another zav touches it.
The baby can
it.
Have an admission.
Look, forget about the baby. Let's take a regular zav. The baby can have a zav, but let's take
but
a regular guy.
Doesn't
matter. Once an item is designated for sitting or resting somebody's weight on it, so therefore it's considered can be susceptible to zav of any type of zav. Comes the Gemara continues. Temein midras ve'en yotzim behem b'shabbat ve'en nichnasim behem la'azara. Right? What did we say in this case over here? That's kiseh v'simuchot shelo. That's the case of the fellow that's in the chair that they strap around him, and he has the two, let's say, wooden blocks that he uses to lift himself up right? And he has those cushions on the stumps that he's wearing. So what do we say to three dinim? Number one, tamein midras, the chair will be tamein midras because he sits on it. Furthermore, en yotzim beim shabbat, we explain because these cards, let's say, according to one explanation, actually they might fall off, right? Because since they're dangling in the air, they might come down off, and he might come to carry them. Ve'en nechnasim beim la'azara, because they're considered a shoe, because ba'on they're worn at the end of his foot. So the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yohanan. So it was a Tana that learnt in front of Rabbi Yohanan the following. Nichnasim Bahim Nazara. He says, what are you talking about? I have a braita that says that you can go into the Azara with these items, implying that they're not considered shoes. Amar Le. So Rabbi Yohanan says, what are you talking about? Ani Shone Isha Choletzit Bo. He says, I have in that braita a text that says that a lady could use these items, these cushions that the kiteya wears. I say that she can use it in the mitzvah of halitza. Ve'at amart nichnasin, and you're telling me that you can go into the azara with them, which means I'm telling you they're legitimate shoes so much that a lady can use them in the halitza process, and you're telling me you can go into the azara with them. Ela what? You misquoted the Braita. There's a different text in the Braita. Tini en nichnasim behem la'azara. Change the text of the Braita. You can't go into the Azara with them. She said, the guy came in front of Yohanan and said, oh, what do you mean? I have a text that says you can go. So what are you talking about? I learned already that it's so much of a shoe that you can even make halitza with it. And you're coming along and telling me you can go into the Azara with these items. Ela what? The Braita. You have a wrong gersa on your Braita. Change your Braita. Instead of saying nichnasim la'azara, make it en nichnasim. Comes the Gemara and says, look temin tehora. Look temin, we said, was the mask, right? The mask. So comes the Gemara and says, my look temin. The Gemara is going to add on. What is this look temin item? Amara babu, hamra de akfa. Hamra de akfa literally means a hamor on his shoulder. Rashi.
Wooden donkey.
Right, it's a wooden donkey, Rashi says, that they would put their legs between it, let's say. So it looked like he's actually riding the donkey, but the donkey, it seems, was over him. The way I understand it, the way they have it in the picture book is a little different than when that she explained it. It was just like it's like a guy in a donkey costume. So it looks like he's, you know, riding the donkey, but it's really a costume. So bottom line, this item over here obviously is Torah. It's not a malbush, it's not a takshit. And you cannot go out with it on Shabbat because it's considered carrying. Comes the Gemara and says, that's Hamra Dakfa Rava Bar Papa Amar Keshire. Keshire, as she says, is Shemalchim b'memkom tit, that they would wear stilts, let's say, long wooden poles over their legs in a place where, let's say, there was tit, where there was tar or quicksand. Okay. So they didn't want to walk in the mud. So that she says, Vekashali, Nehi de teorim mitumat maga, de pechutekeli aitzninu. Ah, you're right, let's say there should be tahor from tumat mit, let's say, because Balma is a pechutekeli aitz, just a piece of wood without a receptacle. That she doesn't understand why she be taor from midras. Midras, we said, even peshutekili ayetz is tamir midras. And these items are made for resting his legs on it, so that she doesn't really understand why these stilts, when the Mishnah says they're tehorim, tehorim, I understand, tumat met maybe. But he doesn't understand why should he be taor from tumat midras. He doesn't answer that question. Some want to learn that these items are that's actually Ravuna coming up. Rabba bar Ravuna Amar Farme. What is Farme? So he says Talmusa Hanikshirit la Partsuf. It's a mess. They would place on the guy's face, Lavrita Banim, getting to scare the little children. So you have a machloka with this item. It's either it's a donkey that they ride, like a donkey costume somehow, or it's a stilts that they wear. Some learn it's not stilts that they wear in the teeth, it's stilts that they wear in the clowns in the circus, like they have today, that they have in the circuses. It's regular stilts. And some learn, no, it's actually a mask. Bottom line, all agree that it's tahor, and all agree that you cannot go out with them on Shabbat. Comes the new, actually look at the Tosfot. Look at the only Tosfot on the page. Kishure, Pirush HaKunteras, Ish Kitzash. That's the stilts that they wear during the Vikshab Bekunteras Veri Tiriftekem Hachenem Asim Ela Lalechet Derech Havara Betit Eno Tameh Midras. So that she, Tosfot answers that question. Tosfot says like this, these stilts are really not made for walking on, which used to be Tameh Midras, they have to be what? Made for supporting you. These items are just used very temporarily to get through the area of mud. And therefore, since they're not designated for walking on, maybe that's why they're not tameh midras. So therefore, he wants to answer, you know, the question that she had. Then he brings that from the Aruch. Let's just read that Aruch. Ubaruch pirish the kishune hainu eskas shosina letzanim, that the clowns make. Then givuhin meod, you know, tall stilts. Then am elul rakid alehim, that they use it to dance with. They're not made to walk. So therefore, that answers why it's not tamei midras. Because if the clowns, they don't walk with these things. They just stand in their place and they jump around with it. So therefore, that's another reason why it would not be considered tamei midras. Comes the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Habanim yotzin bekesharim. The young boys can go out on Shabbat with kesharim. Literally means ties. The Gemara will explain what these ties are. Ubnei melachim, princes can go out with zugin. Zugin, a certain type of golden ornaments. V'chol adam. By the way, these laws apply to everybody. But the rabbis only spoke in the present. Usually, b'nei melachim go out with these gold ornaments. But for that matter, anybody can go out with these ornaments. Now, I was going to explain. My kishirim, what are these ties that you told me the young boys can go out with on Shabbat? Amar Adda Mori, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Baruch, Amar Rav Asher Bar Abin, Amar Rav Yehuda, Kishure Pu'ah. They would tie a certain type of plant or herb around the child's arm, and that would be medicinal. That would give them a refu'ah. So they can go out with the pu'ah tied around their arm. Amar Abaye. So Abaye said, Abaye was an orphan. Abaye said, Amrali Em. My mother told me. Now Abaye did not have a mother. His mother died during childbirth. Whenever it says in the Gemara, Amrali Em, it means his nurse. Abaye says, my nurse told me what? Tlata Mukme. If you tie three of these pu'ahs around your arm, it'll sustain you, meaning the disease won't get worse. Hamisha, if you tie five of them around your arm, Masu, it'll heal you. Shiva, if you tie seven around your arm, afilu l'kishafim ma'ale, it'll even protect you from black magic, from witchcraft. Amar Rav Chabar Yaakov, around your neck? Okay, if it says around your neck, around your neck. Okay, let's see that she. I take it back. And she says, koshim b'kishim etulim b'savar. I stand corrected. Around the neck. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Chabar Yaakov, v'hu delo hazi l'shimsha. That's only talking about where these plants that you're tying around your neck never saw sunlight. V'sihara, they never saw moonlight. V'lo hazemitra, they never were exposed to the rain. V'lo shamiya lekol barzila, they never heard the banging of metal, of iron. V'kal tanegota, they never heard the voice of a rooster cackling. V'kol negren, nor they never heard the footsteps of a human being. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, after Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak heard all these qualifications, he said, Nafal puta bibira. Take the puta, meaning take this remedy of this herb and throw it in the pit. Meaning, it's worthless. You can't find an item like this. Therefore, throw it out. It has no value. So the Gemara says, anyway, my idiya banim. If the case is really talking about tying these items, when it says yotzim, abanim yotzim bekesharim, if it's talking about this medicinal herb that they put around their neck, why did the Mishnah choose as an illustration only boys? Afilu banot nameh. Well, even the girls should be allowed. Bottom line, if it cures, it cures. Umay iriya ketanim. And why did it choose minors? Afilu gedolim nameh. Even adults. So for that matter, the Gemara rejects that interpretation of Kisharim, and is going to give a new interpretation. Ela, my Kisharim, ki had amar abin baruna amar avhama barguria, ben sheyesh lo gaguin al abiv. If you have a child, a young boy, that has gaguin, he has yearnings to be with his father, which means, let's say, he's like homesick, or he has he has an attachment, let's say, to his father. And therefore the father wants to, you know, give the kid a little independence so the kid doesn't have this, he can get sick like from this. He always wanted to be with his father. So what do they do? Notel b'tzu'amim min al shel yamin. The father takes his right shoelace, v'koshel lo b'smolo, and he ties it to the left arm of the child. And that gives the child like comfort. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak v'simanach tefillin. The way you remember this is the tefillin. Where do you tie the tefillin on? Your left arm. So therefore you take from the right shoe, you put it on his left arm. The Gemara says, be careful. But if you reverse it, if you put it on his right arm, he'll only have more cravings to be with his father. That is an interesting Rabbeinu Hananel over here. Rabbeinu Hananel explains this remedy. He says, "Yesh mi she'omrim ki kishiyigdal etzev aven b'mitat abiv." This is talking about now where the father died, and the child now is depressed because he misses his father. Then you take this item and you do it. So it's in a case where the child misses his father because his father is no more. His father is dead. Comes again, Gemara says, and she didn't learn like that, right? The only question is then, why does it only say by the boys? It should apply by the girls. So that she says a principle when it comes to father-daughter relationships. Let's read that sheet together. Very interesting. Gerguin, migageya alav, right? He wants to be with him. He yearns to be with him. You know, you can't keep away from his father. Urfu'azu lo sheikha b'nekevot. This doesn't apply to girls. Why? She'ena av mehabeban kol kach b'tchilatan. The father doesn't have an endearment to his daughters, shiyu migagayin alav, that they miss him so much that they yearn. Yeah, that might be the mothers and the daughters, but the daughters and the fathers, they don't have this problem like the sons have. Comes again without further and says, Amar, that would be Amar Avin Baruna Amar Rav Hama Bar Guria. Another statement in the name of Rav Hama Bar Guria. Sehufe kasa atibure b'shabeta shapir dame. To place a cup on a person's stomach on Shabbat is permissible. What do you mean? Putting a cup on a person's stomach? So that she says, Sehufe kasa kosh yesh bo haval. You have a cup that has in it hot smoke. Kegon she'iru meminu mayim hamin. Let's say there was hot water in the cup. They emptied it out. Now, there's some, vapor still in there. They would place it on the person's stomach. Why would they do that? So that she says, "Lemi she'has b'me'av." Somebody has intestinal problems. V'ohez ha'kos t'basar. The cup, grabs the flesh of the person. And that she says, "U'moshech elav et ha'me'ayim." It pulls the me'ayim out. "U'moshivan b'mkoman." And puts it back in its place. So the Hadush of the Gemara is, even though this seems to be medicinal, and we know things that are of medicinal nature are forbidden on Shabbat, since this does not entail any medicine, which is just a procedure. They only made a gizran medicine when what? You might come to grind the medicine. But that's only on a medicine that's an herb or some type of a plant, because you can come to grind it. Here, what are you going to come to grind? It's just a procedure with a cup. So the Gemara says that would be permissible to do on Shabbat. Again, Rabbi Hanan has a different explanation. He says, "Pirush im bolet tiburo shel adam b'chutz b'mav." If let's say his stomach is protruding out, or im nikav, or let's say he has a puncture, when im sham kos katan tiburo kedesh lo yiblot v'yitbaka. Now, what about he might have a rupture over here? In any event, another statement. You're allowed to anoint yourself on Shabbat with oil and salt. Now, why would you want to anoint yourself with oil and salt? So comes the Gemara and says, Kiha. Now, that she says, where do you anoint yourself? On the palms of your hand and on the palms of your leg, of your feet, your soles. So the Gemara says, Kiad Rav Huna Meber Rav, like Rav Huna that studied in the yeshiva of Rav, the Rav, and like Rav that studied Meber Rabbi Haya, that studied by Rav Haya, the Rav Haya Meber Rabbi, and like Rav Haya that studied in the yeshiva of Rabbi. What do they all have in common? Kiavu Mibseme, when they used to get drunk, because the custom in the olden days is, the rabbis used to give the Talmidim to drink, used to open up their minds. So when the students used to get drunk, so now the rabbis wanted to get their students sober. So there was a certain method how they used to sober up their students. Maitem meshcha umelcha. They would take salt and oil. Veshayfe lehu legiviyata didayu vegiviyadayu vegiviyata dekarayu. They would rub it on the palms of their hand, the adayu, and on the soles of their feet, which means this was a sobering issue over here. You take this item, you rub it on the hands and the feet, and it sobers the guy up. And they would say a certain thing. It was a sigula. This is not conventional medicine. This obviously was a sigula. As they're rubbing it on their feet, they would say, just like this oil has become thinned out by rubbing it on the person's body, nitzil hamre de planya bar planita, which means so too the wine that's in this guy's system should thin out the fellow, the son of his mother. Which they would say, you know, Yitzhak ben Rachel, that what? You know, he should sober up, meaning the wine in his system should thin out, like the oil that we rubbed on him also thinned out. Ve'ila, and if that doesn't work, or you don't have salt and oil, they're giving you another method to sober oneself up. Maite shi'a didana. Shi'a is what? Wax?
Clay.
Okay, the clay that she should make gufat habit, which is when they would seal a barrel, they would seal it with clay. Take the clay seal of a barrel, the share le bimaya, and throw it in the water. The amar, and you say, just like this clay now is thinning out by placing it in the water, so too the wine in this guy's system should also thin out, meaning it should sober up. Another statement from Rahama bar Guria, mutar lehanek b'Shabbat. You could do the choking process on Shabbat. What is this choking process? That she says, mi shenifreka hulya shel mafreket savano. If let's say some one of the discs in a person's neck bone comes apart on Shabbat, or I'm reading the Bach, nafla lo orlat garon, or let's say, I think this means his ovulum in his throat comes apart, you know, it falls into his throat, it became, let's say, you know, detached. So therefore they need to put it back in its place. So what do? They would grab the guy by his neck and lift him up by his neck. Now that would put all the pieces back into place. That process was called hanika. So the hadush is, even though it's medicinal, it's permissible on Shabbat. Why? Because it really doesn't require any medicine. And therefore we don't make a gezerah that you might come to crush spices.
That's the point of all of these. The oil that is not, the two
Gemara
is telling us, these are not medicinal.
Yes, that's a singular. The case of the other item, it's just a pure singular. Mm-hmm. This item over here is it's healing, but since it doesn't use medicine, therefore it's permissible. Comes
the oil, you're anointing,
no? The anoint on Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, "V'amar abin baruna amar of hamabar guria." Another din, lefufe yinuka beshabeta shapir dame. What is lefufe? The fufir means to swaddle. If you ever see when they take the kids home sometimes in the hospital, they take a blanket and they wrap it around the child. It looks like they're mummifying the child. What are they doing exactly? In order to keep his bones in place. Because when the child comes through the birthing canal, a lot of his bones go out of place. So they, you know, they realign his body and then they wrap him up very tightly in order to keep the bones in place so they'll grow the right way. That's permissible to do on Shabbat, even though let's say it's healing, but since it doesn't use medicine, therefore it is permissible. That's called lefufe. Now, a lot of these statements were said by Rav Hama bar Guria. Now, regarding children, Rav Hama bar Guria gave two healings. Number one, if the child misses his father, he said take the right strap and put it on his left arm. And the second thing regarding children, we said, is lefufe. Right, Rav Hama bar Guria made two remedies for children, specifically children. So now the Gemara says like this: Rav Papa matne banim. Rav Papa had the version in the Gemara. He heard two statements from Rav Hama bar Guria, and therefore he said banim in plural, meaning you could do lefufeh, and you could also put the right strap on the left hand. He heard both statements from Rav Hama bar Guria, and therefore he had the text banim, because it's two different cures for children. Rav Zvid matni ben. Rav Zvid only heard one statement of Rav Hama bar Guria, and therefore he had these texts of ben. He heard both statements, but from different rabbis. So regarding Rav Hama bar Guria, he just learned one statement. I'm not going to explain. Rav Papa matni banim, v'tarvayu matni lehu babin barhuna. Papa had the text banim, and both statements regarding children he learned from Avin Baruna, which said it the name of Rav Hama bar Guria. The case of lefufe, the swallowing of the tinok, and the child that has girguin. Rav Zvid matni ben, he only had ben in singular. Kamaita matni babin baruna. The case of the child that has going to get about his father, that he learned from Abin Barhuna. They're high, but the case of swaddling, matila biraba barbarhana. The Amar of Barhana, lefufe yinuka b'shabeta, shapir dameh, to swaddle the kid on Shabbat, and Abba Barhana says it is permissible. So bottom line, both all agree that lefufe yinuka is mutar. Amar Abaye, Amnali E, my nurse told me, kol minyane, anytime you're doing a type of sigula, or a lahash they call it, where you have to, let's say certain pisukim, or certain, or you're praying, you know, with different, different texts in order to heal a person, and you're praying with this type of prayer, bishma de'ima, you always use the mother's name, which means so-and-so, the son of his mother. Which is when you're making these type of tefillot, you go after the mother. So I saw beautiful Ben Ish Chai in his Sefer Torah Lishma. Why is it that normally when we pray for a person, let's say for the Fuah Shilema, we go after his mother? So he says, because in Shamayim there's usually less prosecution against a lady than a man. Because a man is obligated in more mitzvot. So usually men are more guilty than ladies who are exempt from all mitzvot asesh as mangirama. Therefore we want to put this guy in a better light. So we don't want to mention his father. Therefore we say the son of his mother to put him in a better position. Others, Ben Ish Chai also brings down over there Torah Lishma, a different explanation. It says just very simply, we know who the mother is, we don't know who the father is. The father you have to rely on Rov, you know, but the mother is the mother. Everybody knows that she gave birth to him. V'chol katre, anytime you're tying something for a sigula on a child or somebody, bismillah, you always tie it on the left arm. Like we learned earlier, like the tefillin, you tie it on the left. That's a rule that Abaye's nurse told him. Tyings are done on the left. V'amar Abaye, amra li'em. Abaye, his nurse told him the following. The Amar Abaye, Amrali Im, my nurse told me, kol minyane, anytime you have to say certain lahash, a certain prayer for rifu'ah, demifarsheh ke demifarsheh. If it gives you if it's explicit how many times you have to say it, you say it that many times. For example, some people you have to say 7 times, quote the pasuk. Sometimes it says say it 10 times. If it's explicitly written, say whatever it's written. But if it's not explicit, 41 times, which means the default number for these sigulot is 41, unless otherwise explicitly written. Tanu Rabbanan, yotzim be'eben tekuma b'shabbat. A lady is allowed to go out with a certain stone on Shabbat. It's called Evin Tekuma. Why do they call it Evin Tekuma? Because this stone prevents the lady from having miscarriages. So Tekuma, meaning it gives her the stability. It's a machlok what this stone is. I think the Ran says it's a diamond. You have Rabbeinu Bahya in the Parasha. In Tetzaveh learns it's a ruby. In any event, there was certain stones that were known that if a lady wears them, it protects her from miscarriages. Now, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Amr Rabbi Meir taught, Af b'mishkal Evin Tekuma. Interesting, not only the Evin Tekuma itself, but anything that was weighed against it. For example, you took another stone, and you put it on the other side of the scale, which means you weighed it against an Evin Tekuma, that also has a sigula, the other stone, to stop a lady from getting miscarriages. Ve'lo she'pila. Not we're talking a lady that normally gets miscarriages, because that's for sure she could carry the stone on Shabbat, a lady that's susceptible to miscarriages. Ela shimet tapir. Even if she never got a miscarriage before and you're just worried that she might get a miscarriage. Ve'lo she'ibra. And not necessarily that she's pregnant. Ela shimet tapir v'tapir. She can even wear it before she knows that she's pregnant, just so she will not get a miscarriage. Amar Rav Yemar Bar Shelemya Meshemed Abaye Vehu De'echaven Ve'etkal. The only time you could use the second weight that was measured against the Eben Tekuma is if when you put it on the scale, it came out exactly the same weight as the Eben Tekuma. Not that you had to add a little more or take away a little less. So it's a rare case. But you have to drop it on the scale and it's got to balance exactly. Then the second weight is considered just as valuable. Abaye had a question. Mishkal de mishkal mai. Let's say you take the second weight and you weigh it against a third weight. Does that also have the same sigula? The Gemara says tiku. That you have to ask Eliyahu Hanavi. Ba'amar Abaye. Abaye said, Amra li'im. He says, my nurse told me, le'eshata bat yoma, for fever that recurs every day, which is a recurring fever that a person is getting every day, lishkol zuza hevra, take a newly minted coin, a new silver coin, vilizil lemilhata, go to the quarry of salt, vilitkol metkela milha, take the amount of salt that measures equally against this newly minted coin, I mean, weigh it. Now you have the measure of salt. Tie the salt to your neck, binira barka, with a strand of hair. V'ilo, if you can't do that, and that'll heal you. Litov aparashat derachim, go sit at the fork in the road. V'chihaze shumshemana gamla dedare mide, when you find a certain ant that's carrying a load, the ant is called shumshemana gamla, that's the type of ant, the big ant, didare midi, that's carrying a load, lishkele, take that ant, velishteye begupta de nahasha, put it in a copper tube, velisteme, seal the tube, beibra, with lead, velihteme beshitin gushpanke, seal it with 60 seals. Now she says it doesn't mean 60 seals, it means put a tar, and then over the tar put another sealant, and then, and she gives you the examples. He says, how to seal it. He says, put wax, and then put over the wax lead, and then put zefet, and then over the zefet put teeth, but you just seal it very tightly. B'shitin kushpenke, v'lib rizule, shake it, v'lidre, v'lidre, as she says, carry it, lift it up, velemale, and now say the following, ti'unach alai, your burden is on me, which means we're talking about a bug that's carrying something, right? Yes. So the guy's telling the ant, I'm carrying your burden, ti'unai alach, and therefore I want you to carry my burden, I mean you take my sickness. He didn't like the sigura. He says, "V'dilma inish askecher v'efsakbe," which means maybe somebody found this bug before you and put his sickness on it, and therefore now you're going to come along and say, "I'm carrying what you're carrying." Now you're going to get this guy's sickness, and therefore you're going to end up getting sick. So the Gemara says, "Ela, don't." You can still use the ant segula, but just adjust the saying. Lemale te'unai v'te'unach alach. My burden and your burden is on you. Put everything on the bug. V'ilo, if you can't do that, I don't know why you can't do that. The Gemara says, l'shkol kuza hadta. Take a new cup or a new jug. V'lizil nehara. Go to the river. This is chronic fever. Vele male, and tell the river, nahara, nahara, river, river, usfan kuzad demaya, lend me a jug of water. I need water. Le'urha, for this occurrence, meaning this daily fever, de'eklali. Then you fill up the jug with water. Velehader shav zimne al reshe, swing it around your head, like kaparot, 7 times. Then throw it behind you. Throw it back into the river, over your back. And tell the river, nahara, nahara, shekol mayad yahavli, take back the water that you gave me. This occurrence of fever that happened to me, it came on this day. And on this day, it is leaving. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.